Now we welcome each one here tonight in the Lord's name. We appreciate the effort you have made to come, and we trust you not be disappointed. It's not a place of entertainment, but it is for the eternal blessing of all here tonight. We announce meetings the rest of the week except Saturday, each night at 8 o'clock. A prayer meeting at 7:30 for those who are free to come to pray. And also after this meeting, for a short time in the basement, a prayer meeting. We need God. It's God who saves, but it pleases God through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. We trust that you believe the message tonight and know the joy of sins forgiven. Now we announce these meetings in the will of the Lord. I would like to read first in the Gospel by John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, a verse or two from the Old Testament in the book of Daniel, chapter 5. Daniel chapter 5 and verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before 1,000. Belshazzar, whilst he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives and his concubines, might drink therein. Now further down the chapter, verse 17. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, Let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would he slew, and whom he would he kept alive, whom he would he set up, whom he would he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beast, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee. And so on. We'll just read verse 30. In that night was Belshazzar the king of the Chaldeans slain. Now a final reading in the Epistle to the Hebrews and chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 24. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now that's all we'll read. We trust the Lord with a blessing through the reading of his word and help us to preach the gospel tonight from these scriptures that we have read. Three very simple thoughts in mind. In John's Gospel chapter 3, we have read of a great discovery. The night that a man by the name of Nicodemus discovered if he is ever going to be in God's heaven, he must be born again. Now, friend, if you have never discovered that in your life before, we trust you'll accept it from God's word, that if you are ever going to be in God's heaven, an absolute necessity is a new birth. We read from Daniel chapter 5 of a great delusion. The farthest thought from the mind of Belshazzar was death that night. He was had a party. 1,000 of his lords were gathered, his wives and his concubines. And when the wine took its hold upon Belshazzar, he brought in the vessels out of the house of God. He blasphemed God, like many others, and thought he could get away with it. But he didn't. God spoke to that man, and it was in that night Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. A great delusion. That is a false belief and false impressions delude many souls and blind them in relation to God's salvation. But we read from Hebrews chapter 7 of a great deliverer, a savior. Wherefore he is able. This speaks to us of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There's only one savior. There's only one way to God's heaven. And that's not by works or by ritual or by anything that you and I can do. But the gospel presents the savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the only remedy for your sin. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12 we read, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. A great deliverer, he is able to save. There's no limit to the saving of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has saved drunkards. He has saved drug addicts. He has saved gamblers and all classes of people. He is able to save. But once they get God's salvation, they cease to be drug addicts. They cease to be drunkards and so on. And that's what this new birth that we read about in John chapter 3 really is. Now a great discovery. Men have made discoveries in life. A few years ago, they discovered the Titanic on the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean. That's what written down as a great discovery. Columbus discovered America in 1492 or 3. That's what was a great discovery, written down in history. But here's a man made a great discovery. He came to the Lord Jesus Christ one night. He had some question on his mind. He says, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. No man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Nicodemus observed, and this one had come into their midst, one who was different, one who was unique, one who did something that the rest could not do. And so he came to him by night to inquire. But the Lord Jesus spoke something to him that startled him. And it has startled multitudes down the ages since. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now those words are clear and plain. We don't need to go to the UBC to understand them. Here is the ABC of the gospel. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I remember as a lad going to Sunday school, learning John chapter 3, and this verse was amongst them. And very early in my life, I made the great discovery that if I was ever going to be in God's heaven, I must be born again. It's something that is all important, the new birth, to fit a soul for God's heaven. George Whitefield, who preached in the 1700s, preached over 2,000 times from this chapter, John chapter 3, and the new birth. A lady said to him one day, "Mr. Whitefield, why do you preach so much? You must be born again." He looked her straight in the eye. He said, "Madam, it's because ye must be born again. There is no substitute for this new birth. Man may make and try substitutes, but there is none. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And this new birth is an absolute necessity for God's heaven. Now we know that we preach, now for weeks at an end, yea, months at an end, and yet there's some people, and they never seem to get the message. I had meetings in Boston a few years ago. One night in a meeting, there were three ladies came. The first time they were ever there, I think they were only there once, but they were in the meeting that night. And we sought to preach from John chapter 3, one of the scriptures, that except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. On the way out through the door, the first lady that came, why, she rushed past me, wouldn't shake my hand. She shook the other preacher's hand. And then her friend was behind her. She said, "Did Mrs. So-and-so not shake your hand?" I said, "No. She just run on out. Maybe she didn't see me." She went over to her in the vestibule, and I listened. She said, "Why do you not shake the fellow's hand? Listen to what you said." She said, "He said I'm going to hell." The lady said, "Sure, he doesn't even know you." "Well," she said, "he said that if you are not born again, you are going to hell." At least she got the message. It registered. Friend, we trust something will register in your soul tonight. That if you are ever going to be in heaven, you need a new birth. You must be born again. Now there's no substitute. It doesn't say except a man be a Protestant. If that was the case, I would be a Protestant. You say, "What are you?" "I'm a sinner, saved by sovereign grace." If it said it, I should be a Roman Catholic. I would be a Roman Catholic. Why? Because I want to be in God's heaven. If it said that I should be a Buddhist, I would be a Buddhist if that was the way to heaven. But friend, that's not the way. What is the way? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now every person that is born again, they have a starting point. When you and I came into this world, we were born into it. There was a moment when we were born. They tell me I was born around 6:15 on a Thursday night in the month of April, way back many years ago. But friend, I don't remember that birthday. But I was born again on the 14th of December, 1950. I'll never forget that time. You see, the new birth, the Bible states, is like coming from darkness into light, from the power and bondage of sin and Satan. unto God as being dead in trespasses and sins and made alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. This new birth is not something that's vague. It's not something that's foggy. The night that God saved me, there was no one else there. I knew I was saved. Nobody told me. I didn't see the light flicker. I didn't feel a bubbly feeling or strange feeling within. But I knew I was bound for heaven, saved for eternity in a moment of time. How did I know? By the word of God. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, why was that brazen serpent lifted up? Because Israel had sinned. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why was Christ lifted up? Because I had sinned. Verse 15. Whosoever believeth in him, not in the brazen serpent, in Christ. That was only a picture. The bitten Israelite looked to the brazen serpent. The moment he looked, he was healed and he lived. A look by faith to Christ, who died upon the cross and paid sin's debt. Whosoever believeth in him should never be in hell, but have everlasting life, or be in heaven. As a poor sinner, I believe God. That moment, I was saved for eternity. The simplicity of salvation, very simple. Yet, people make it a puzzle. It's not putting things together. It's simply resting your soul for eternity on the Word of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. We read of a great delusion. Here's a man thought he was going to have a great time. He started off all right. He made a feast. There his friends were all gathered. They were really going to have a party. They were going to live it up. Then he blasphemed God. Did you ever blaspheme God? Did you ever do things that you knew was wrong and against God? So did Belshazzar. Belshazzar knew how God had dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. He knew how Nebuchadnezzar had been brought down. He knew all that. But he failed to get the message. And so he was just going to do his own thing. God warned him by the finger of a man's hand on the plaster of the wall, writing. Writing his doom. Belshazzar trembled. His knees smote one against another. The man that called the party. There was a change. His countenance changed. His thoughts trouble him. What's this all about? God was speaking. God was dealing. Did you ever find God dealing in your life? Were you ever bothered about your sin? About meeting God? Facing eternity? Not knowing where you're going to be? I think it's about 4 years ago. My son has a boat at my place, and we had some relatives from Ireland with us, and there was two boys, and they wanted to ride in that boat. Finally, one day I said, all right, I'll take the boat down and give you a ride in it. We got the boat hooked onto the trailer, took it down to the wharf to launch it. I turned around and was reversing backward, and I needed to make a little adjustment. I put my foot in the brake, and there was no brake. The car ran on down the ramp. The boat jumped off, and we went right down into the water. Six of us. Two adults, four children. I opened the door to stop the car. When I got out, I was up to about here in the water. My grandson had his life jacket on. We had all the windows open. It was so hot. He out the back window swam to shore. My nephew carried two children, and I carried one. And we stood there and watched the car sink. But my little granddaughter, 10 years of age, she was up on the road, away far back, weeping, crying, trembling. So after a little while, I went up to her and I said, "Lorianne, you're on dry land. You're all right, you're safe." You know what she said to me? She says, "I don't want to go to hell." Just because she was in the water, she thought she was going to drown. She didn't want. You see, that was a little jolt. She didn't want to be in hell. Didn't want to go there. Well, Belshazzar knew the dealings of God with his father Nebuchadnezzar, but yet he failed to see the point. And so he called this great party. But that was his last night upon earth. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. We're living here tonight. We don't know what's on the morrow. The wise man said in Proverbs 27, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Now if you had asked Belshazzar, "What about tomorrow, Belshazzar?" Ah, wine, women, and song. Where was Belshazzar on the morrow? He was on the other side. He was in eternity. There may be a soul in our gathering here tonight. My friend, it's the last time you'll ever hear the sweet strains of the gospel ringing in your ears that you might be saved. You know, those who die in their sins, the Lord Jesus said, "Whither I go, ye cannot come." If you die without Christ, the Bible teaches very plainly, you'll be in hell forever. That's solemn. People don't want to believe in hell. They don't want to accept that truth. But it's inside the pages of God's book. There's a heaven to be gained. There's a hell to be shunned. Belshazzar knew the right way. But yet, he blasphemed God. He didn't want God's way. He took his own way. And he perished. A great delusion. He never thought. Death the farthest thought from his mind. And that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. But then we read of great deliverance. Wherefore, he is able to save to the uttermost. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to save. He's willing to save to the uttermost. He's willing to save every sinner that is willing to put their trust in him. He wants to save you tonight. And friend, he's able. How is he able? He paid redemption's price in full at the place called Calvary, where all our sins were laid on Jesus. Jesus bore them on the tree. God, who knew them, laid them on him, and believing, we go free. He's able to save. Able to save you in this meeting. I remember a young woman, very intelligent she was, university graduate, coming to meetings we had in a tent in Nova Scotia, not very far from where I live. She had thoughts about her soul. God was dealing with her. She came round to our home one night. She was there at 4:30 in the morning, wanting to be saved. I couldn't save her. I read the scriptures with her, sought to point her to Christ. You know what she said to me when she was leaving? She says, "God has salvation in his hand, but he won't give it to me." I said, "What?" I said, "God wants to save you. He has done everything possible to save your soul from hell. In love to you, he sent his son. In love to you, he punished his son in your stead, that you might be saved. And you say he doesn't want to save you." Well, she didn't get saved at those meetings. But two other men came, perhaps 2 years later, and she went to hear the gospel. They were there for 5.5 weeks. One of the preachers said, "This night, We're going to finish on Friday night. Two more nights of meeting. She went home, went to bed, lying in bed, began to think. Two more meetings. She thought back on her life, how many times she had refused Christ. That night, she got down to business, came back over her life. She said, I've tried all these things to believe and to trust and so on. She come to this place. I'm lost. I can't save myself. It was then that she got God's salvation. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. It's a hard thing to get lost. Because we try different things. We think we can believe. We think we can trust. My friend, until you get lost, how could you be saved? But Christ came to save lost souls. And that young woman, thank God, got God's salvation. Was the Lord Jesus able to save her 2 years before? Certainly. He's able to save you tonight. Are you willing to trust Him? You're going to do one of two things. You're either going to trust Him or refuse Him. But are you leave this meeting tonight? We trust. You'll make a wise choice. The choice you make tonight could be the one for eternity. It could be saving. It could be solemn. Our prayer is you'll make a wise choice and trust the Savior. He's willing and able to save you.